How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are going to be talking about a mix of a bunch of things. We're going to start off with the coaching carousel. There's a... Yes?
Carousel. Is that the end of it this week?
No. I mean, there's still a whole offseason. There's still a whole... Well, I mean, it's pretty close to over. I don't know who all still needs a job, but there's a lot of coaching jobs that have been hired for. So it's pretty close. But alrighty. So, yes, the coaching carousel. Matt LaFleur's younger brother. Matt LaFleur is the Green Bay Packers coach, head coach. Mike LaFleur. LaFleur has been hired as the Cardinals head coach. Now, I did remember seeing that it's a 5-year contract. That's pretty good. Truth be told, I don't look at contracts all that much because you can get fired in the middle of them anyways. La-dee-da. But 5-year contract, so I don't know how good that is in terms of how much faith they have in them. I mean, I think 5 years is a pretty substantial amount of time. I mean, you know. I think you get like 3, so 5 is pretty good. So I think that works well for the Cardinals. I mean, he's going to be he was the offensive coordinator at, I want to say the Commanders, but I think I'm wrong on that. Either way, he was an offensive coordinator, and now he's the head coach of the Cardinals. So the Cardinals have hopefully a good head coach. I mean, Matt LaFleur is a good head coach, so. Hopefully Mike can do just as well for the Cardinals. Also, Clint Kubiak agrees to be the head coach of the Raiders, but because he is actually on the Seahawks and the Seahawks are in the Super Bowl, he's not allowed to sign a contract until after the Super Bowl is over, because for him the season is still ongoing. But no, I mean, the Seahawks have a great offense this year, so I think for him to go to the, my head broke for a second. I think for him to go to the Raiders is good. I mean, they have a 2-running-back system at the Seahawks that works really well. I mean, and JSN is the best receiver in the NFL, I do believe, stat-wise, this year. So, I think for him to go to the Raiders, and I think the Raiders are going to get, I don't know who. I think they'd probably go for Malik Willis in free agency. They have a good running back in, I can't think of his name. You know, that always shows how Ashton Jeanty, there you go. They have a good running back in Ashton Jeanty. They just need to fix that line, and I honestly think that, you know, they could get the Raiders in working order. So that's good. Raheem Morris, the former Falcons head coach, after being fired, has found himself a new job as the 49ers defensive coordinator, so that's good on, him, I guess. I honestly did not pay attention to the Falcons at all, so I don't know how good he is. Now, I do know they have some people, like, I think Caden Ellis is really good, and they have a couple other people who I am failing to think of at this point in time. But no, I mean, their defense is solid. I mean, they have a lot of good players. Some of them are rather older. I think they have Deion Jones, I do believe. But good defense. So, good on him. And also, I think that the head coach experience helps. I think it's always good to have a coach that has a lot of experience on your coaching staff. I think it brings a lot to the locker room, as you might expect. Speaking of a guy who has a lot of experience, that's why I had a little bit of a laugh there. Matt Nagy is back. I guess he never left, but he was the former Bears head coach. I don't know if you guys remember that. I do believe 22 was his last year as the Bears head coach. He was then the quarterback's coach at the Chiefs, and then the Chiefs' offensive coordinator. But he has resigned, I guess, close enough. To the Chiefs' offensive coordinator position, and he signed with Jim Harbaugh under the same position as offensive coordinator. So he will be the offensive coordinator now at the Giants. So the Giants got a new offensive coordinator. Brian Daboll, the former Giants head coach, also finds himself another coaching job after being fired by the Giants at the Titans. Now, I, they didn't have a great line in New York, but I, like I said, I wasn't a big fan of Brian Daboll. I spent a lot of the time this year hating on Brian Daboll. But, I guess for what they had, he made work of it, so I'm not gonna, you know. There's a lot more going on as a head coach, I can say that much. So, yeah. But a story that I found most interesting, the one that I had, this is it for the football. But, the Browns defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz resigns. Now, he resigned after he was passed up for the head coaching job, I think that's fair. I mean, his defense has been great, you know. He's been there since, I do believe, 23. So, I mean, he's had one of the best defenses in the NFL both years. I mean, last year it was good. This year it was the best defense in the NFL. And they didn't give him the coaching job, which is rough. So, he was rather upset about that, I guess, and, resigned. So, he's gonna be gone, and according to, Tom Pelissero, when he received the news that the team would be hiring, Todd Monken, Schwartz was visibly upset, quote-unquote, visibly upset, said goodbyes in the building, and told other coaches he's not coming back. So, yeah, no, that's rough. He's expected to sit out, I do believe, just the rest of the 26th season. That way, if he sits out the rest of the 26th season, he's allowed to go to a different team. So he might just take a year off and then go to a different team, which is fair. I mean, you know, I guess. It's similar to the Mike Tomlin thing where Mike Tomlin resigned and he's going to take a year or two off. So, I don't know. I think Schwartz would have been a good head coach, though. I mean, if you look at his defense, if he could make that happen with the whole team, it'd be great. Honestly, I think that the Browns, the Browns might be one of the last places I'd want to be ahead. With all the teams and jobs that opened up this year, the Browns might be one of the last organizations I'd want to coach for. Nothing against the Browns. The Browns have been a losing team for as long as I've been around. I mean, there were times when they were good, but even then, it's not their franchise. That's the Ravens now. They were a whole new team. They just kept the name the Browns and then kept the records. They're not even the same records. Those players went to that franchise, I guess is the better way to put it, moved to Baltimore and became the Ravens. So, the records that are the Browns aren't even the Browns. Unless they were, you know, after they became an expansion league team, but I don't know when that was. So, but anyways, I think he would have been a good head coach. And, yeah. I think that the Browns should have probably given him a chance, but I'm not in the front office. I know they wanted an offensive person because they had offensive struggles last year. But, you know, I think Stefanski was an offensive-minded person. And with a defense like they have now, I honestly don't know why you wouldn't just embrace that. I know you need an offense. I mean, they had the best defense in the league last year, and look where they ended up. But I think that so long as he could get the offense working, and you had a good offensive coordinator, honestly, you could do it. So, yeah. And also, I think it's funny, Mike McDaniel, the former Dolphins head coach, he also signed somewhere. I don't remember where. Give me just a second. He is now the offensive coordinator at the Chargers. He was interviewing to be the head coach at the Browns and ended up being the offensive coordinator at the Chargers. He took a demotion to work at the Chargers. Now, I don't know exactly why that is. Maybe he just didn't want the stresses of being a head coach. There is a lot more to being a head coach. But at the same time, I mean, you know, he turned down a head coach. Well, maybe the Browns turned it down, but I do believe he withdrew his offer and then signed with the Chargers. So I think that's interesting. But yeah. Also, I thought it was interesting. I know I say also a lot, but I thought it was interesting that according to the same Yahoo Sports article that all the other Swartz stuff had come from, he started his coaching career in Cleveland as a personnel scout for the Browns at the age of 27. And apparently he was in that role for 2 years, so I guess he was apparently pretty good. And then he went to the Ravens as a defensive assistant. But he has obviously since come back to Cleveland, and should he have gotten that coaching job, it would have been like a full circle moment, and he would have been head coach of the team that hired him as a personnel scout in his first job in 1993. But the dream died, I guess. I mean, you know, he could always come back at some point. Maybe Todd Monken will flop out. But I wouldn't hope that on Todd Monken, nor would I hope that on the Browns fans. I also hope the Browns win a Super Bowl one of these years, coming up soon. It'd be nice. I hope that they get that stadium built. Well, I guess if the stadium gets built, it's, you know, I guess I don't necessarily really care about the stadium. But I do believe either way they're going to renovate the one that they currently have if they don't get the one that they want, so that's equally as good. Just put a dome on it, and then you can use it for Super Bowls. And I think that they could host a Super Bowl. And that'd be good for Cleveland. Make a lot of money. But yeah. Also, one last thing. I heard a complaint from a couple people complaining about players celebrating in the Pro Bowl after they, you know, do well, make a good play, score, that kind of thing. And they were basically arguing that if they get hurt, it's going to be for no point because the, by the way, if you have anything you'd like to say, feel free to call in 740-383-9944. The phone lines are open. That is 740-383-9944. But they were basically complaining that should they get hurt in the Pro Bowl, it's going to be a massive, I was going to say waste of time, but it's essentially just pointless because, you know, it's the Pro Bowl, I guess. I don't know why they, you know, the Pro Bowl's kind of gone downhill in its time. It's flag football now, but they put flag football in the Olympics. But I think that's probably going to be in the summer or spring Olympics. I don't know how exactly they lay that whole thing out. But nonetheless, I think that, I don't know. I mean, if the players want to celebrate, let them celebrate. They celebrate all the time anyways. I'd be more concerned about them getting hurt during the season. If you get hurt during the off season, at least you have, you know, most of the off season to heal. Now, I don't hope anybody gets hurt, obviously. That's no good. But, like I said, I do think that if the players want to celebrate, they should just be allowed to celebrate. I mean, you know, they're the ones who have the risk there. You don't have any risk in the win-loss record of the team. So, there's that. So, yeah, I mean, the coaching carousel goes pretty fast. I mean, you do not a whole lot. I mean, you could, you know, analyze a whole lot of things, but I don't think it's worth it. Not quite, at least. Not for a lot of things. But I do always think it's interesting when people leave due to being disgruntled, such as Jim Schwartz and, you know, things like that. But yeah, no. So that is it for the football, I do believe, unless I think of something else in my mind. I do know Indiana's quarterback is going to the draft. I don't know if I already talked about that. Won the Heisman. Won the national championship. So, depending on how the draft order falls, he might end up being number one. He's widely considered number one. I do know that. But we shall see how the draft works out. But as far as politics goes, there's been a good bit that's happened. You know, Ayers Ratliff has been found not guilty in the rape case. And apparently, there's just a lot of things there that don't make a whole lot of sense to me. You know. I don't know why you wouldn't cross-examine somebody. Now, it was brought to my attention earlier, I guess, that the whole, one question was already asked. So, fair enough, I wasn't at the court hearings, apparently. So, I only heard bits and pieces. But, I don't know why you wouldn't cross-examine somebody. I mean, it's, you know, you got a whole team of people there, apparently, from my understanding. I don't think that's great. And at the same time, you know, there was no DNA evidence presented, at the very least. And I don't know why you would say there's DNA evidence if you're not going to present any DNA evidence. Or if there's no DNA evidence. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, it only took the jury 3 hours, and apparently part of that was, I don't remember who. But so it was only really 2.5 hours because they had to eat lunch. I think that's what it was, lunch. But yeah. So it didn't even take that long to deliberate. I mean, I don't know how long it usually takes to deliberate, but I figure something to this kind of extent, it usually goes pretty long. I mean, that's a decision. I don't know. It just doesn't make a whole lot of, sense, I suppose. The whole handling of it was strange, in my opinion. But, I guess that is over now, and we shall see how the, civil case plays out in Toledo. That's what I am specifically, not specifically, but that's what I'm interested in at this point, now that the, you know, one trial is actually over. But no, I'm interested to see how the results play out of the civil trial in Toledo. I mean, there's a lot to, you know, there's a lot of information that you could possibly get from that. There was also, I didn't talk about the Ratliff interview. Yes, Ayers Ratliff and Rocky Ratliff came on after the indictment, and they were asked a bunch of questions by Scott, obviously. But they had a lot to say about the prosecutor and the police chief, and I feel like I'm forgetting somebody, but maybe not. But either way, they said that the prosecutor and the police chief, they feel, could possibly produce or manufacture, I guess, evidence. They said a lot of things, called him a lot of things, said that he should be disbarred. I do believe they said he should lose his position. So, you know, that was a rough kind of interview, but, you know, I can imagine. I mean, if it's an understandable scenario for such comments, I guess. But no, yeah. So the interview, by the way, if you haven't heard the interview, it is up on the website. I suggest you listen to that. It is definitely worth listening to. But Yes. Heidi's case, I do believe, is still, Heidi Ratliff, the case is still on to, is still on. I don't know the exact date for when it will happen, but, I think that there's a fair chance that they could, potentially drop the charges. I don't see a whole point in, continuing with the charges at this point, as the case that it is in, I guess, is somewhat in reference to, has, ended, been pled, ruled not guilty. So I don't see a point in this one, but it is a whole separate charge, I guess. So I guess we'll see how that plays out, and whether or not the prosecutor's office, I guess, decides to drop the charges or follow through. But I don't really know how this whole thing plays out in the end anyways. I mean, it was a rough, long 2-year situation. I mean, it involved a sitting councilman and the county prosecutor and the police chief, and it was a bit of a mess. I mean, at the very beginning of the thing, the prosecutor said, basically in a video, that it was a slam dunk. They said that they had, some kind of evidence that they had sent to BCI, things like that. I mean, they were pretty sure, apparently, but it did not, play out in their favor. They were also mentioned that apparently, it was brought up to multiple, grand juries. Well, two grand juries obviously allowed for the indictment, but I guess he brought it up to 5, I think was the number, 5 different. So there's just been a bit. But yeah, no. So I guess until the civil trial ends, I don't know that I have a whole lot to say. I need to read more into the trial or something. I don't know a whole lot about it, really. As far as the actual trial went. But the city does have a new auditor. I do believe Vidya Eingard. I'm interested to see what she does. There's a bit of a mess in the auditor's office there. The auditor's office is behind 4 years, I do believe, because it started in 21, is my understanding. They have 22 done, finally. So they have 4 years, well, 3 and catch up on 26, I suppose, to reconcile. And it doesn't help that the auditor of state has turned down the fiscal recovery plan that the city has submitted to them. But I guess we do have until the deadline to turn in a balanced budget, I guess. During the same time, we can submit another fiscal recovery plan, perhaps. I don't know. But I think there's a fair chance that in the end, the state is going to have to come in and do something. I mean, I don't know. They could always raise, sewage taxes or sewage fees, I guess, and property taxes. But I don't think raising taxes is all that great of a way to balance the budget. I don't know. I think that it's going to be rather difficult. I'm not saying she can't do it. I haven't seen what she can do. But it's been a mess in the auditor's office for some time now, and I don't think she's just going to be able to walk in there and fix it, but we hope. I do believe that they've gotten her a help for ADP, an outside company that's supposed to help set that up, maybe. Or no, help balance reconcile the books is the outside company. And then I do believe they hired a payroll clerk as well, so that's supposed to help with ADP. So there's that. I think that's, not bad. I think they... I do believe they took away... I could be wrong on this, so if I'm wrong, call in and correct me here. But I do believe at one point they had essentially said that they didn't have room in the budget for the payroll clerk, and that ADP was supposed to replace the payroll clerk. And that's why they got rid of the payroll clerk, to save billable hours. So, I don't know what good that did. I guess we have to bring back the payroll clerk anyways, and use ADP, which I assume is... I could be wrong, but I assume it's probably a subscription-based thing. Maybe. I don't know if you just buy software. Maybe you do. I don't know. But, nonetheless, I don't think it's... I don't know. It didn't make a whole lot of sense, I guess. Well, yeah, no. The state auditor returned down the fiscal recovery plan. And, like I said, I guess we have until... I don't know, sometime in March or April, I think it is. I don't remember. But we have some time, and like a month and a half or so, or maybe a little over, to come up with a balanced budget and a fiscal recovery plan, I think, is the thing, because they denied the first fiscal recovery plan. So, I'm interested to see where that goes. I'm interested to see where the city, or how the city, I guess, or what they do with the budget, I guess, to balance it. So, that'll be interesting. As well as what they do to... I assume they're going to have to raise funds somehow. Or raise income. And, you know. There's the... The easy way to raise funds is usually to raise taxes, and that's not great. Speaking of, I don't know why how I haven't talked about this yet. We had Democratic candidate for treasurer on tonight. We had Seth Walsh. He was on with Mary Ellen for about 15 to 20 minutes, I do believe. I don't think it was a full... Well, I know it wasn't a full interview. But, yeah. So, I mean, nice enough guy, I guess. I mean, I didn't get a chance to talk to him personally other than what I heard him say on air. But I do know, as I guess all of you know, that him and Mary Ellen went out to dinner and had a conversation... which I guess went well. I mean, Mary Ellen, you heard Mary Ellen, I guess it would have been the first hour, tonight, talking about how she thought he was good. So, I don't know, I thought he spoke well. I mean, he didn't sound, dumb, I guess. To put it bluntly, I suppose. But, you know. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know that he... I would really like to hear what somebody is going to do in office. I don't necessarily... Like, background's good, but I can get your background a lot easier than I can get your policy. Generally speaking. I mean, people have websites which they have, like, campaign issues, but it's not everything, usually. It's, like, the big ones. But I can get your background from there, and that's pretty much what I need. So, I don't know. But, I mean, he, unless I, you know, spaced on the interview, I don't think he talked about any, like Mary Ellen all the time talks about programs and things like that that she did, like Link Deposit and things like that, but he, I don't think, had any, at least, again, should I have missed it, I guess. But he did not mention any programs or anything like that. He mentioned how much money the state auditor would be in control of and that it doesn't go to help the people. It should go to help the people that it's supposed to go to help, basically. But he did not say how he was going to do that or anything of that sort. I don't know. He was okay. Nice enough guy. Yeah. So, I guess we shall see how that whole thing plays out. The election is coming up a lot sooner than I thought. You know, time flies by. It's already February the 6th. Super Bowl's coming up. we haven't talked about the Super Bowl yet. I forgot completely to talk about the Super Bowl, as a matter of fact. The Broncos... No. The Broncos got knocked out by the Patriots, but it was a bit of a scam. The, Sorry, I have, like, glass on my hand, but I don't know where the glass came from. My watch isn't broken or anything like that. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry. Sorry about that. But, Oh, yes, time is flying by. It's already February. We're already almost, you know, a week in. Well, 7 days in, I guess. We're probably, well, yeah, a week in. I'm hoping for the snow to go away. There is that. But no, I mean, time's flying by. So the election's going to be right around the corner, pretty much. I haven't heard anything from anybody as far as the election goes. I mean, Amy Acton and Vivek Ramaswamy aren't doing exactly great at spreading their campaigns around. I mean, they've each been on, I guess. We've had everybody running on, running for 86th district, or yeah, the 86th district for the state rep. So there's four people there. Yeah. I want to say, let's see. Four people, there's going to be Kent Holleran running as the Democrat, and then you're going to have Weslyn Davis, Ben Weber, Stephen Wolf, I do believe, are the three you're going to have running for, three Republican options you're going to have running, and they have the primary, obviously, and then they have the actual general election against what appears to be Kent Holleran, due to, you know, a primary there. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Matt, you must not be too excited about the Super Bowl. You didn't hardly talk about it there at all.
Yeah, I kind of forgot to. I had, like, the coach hirings and things written down, and I just kind of was mentally like, yeah, I'll talk about the Super Bowl, and then I skipped right past it.
What are you doing for Super Bowl?
Usually we have a party or something like that at my, I was going to say my grandma's, but it really just depends on wherever we have it. But I don't think we're having one of those this year for some reason, so I'm going to go watch it at, one of my friend's house.
You live with your grandma?
No.
You got your own path?
Yeah, I just go to my grandma's a lot.
Oh.
My parents live, like, right down the road from my grandma.
Well, that's nice. You can do a few chores and stuff for her. I mean, do you guys live, your mom and dad live out in the country and your grandma?
Yeah, they live out in the country.
So you can probably take her trash out for her and stuff on trash day.
Well, they burn wood in the wintertime, so yeah, like I'll help them like get wood and I'll bring wood inside. And then in the summertime I help them split wood because, you know, you don't want to be splitting wood in the cold. And
no. The year of the blizzard, we was burning wood. And we had a little shed we built for the wood. And it was blowing so bad, we tied a rope onto us, you know, because you couldn't see the shed, and just tried to walk straight out the back door and you'd run into it. And then, you know, when you got your load of wood, you know, you could follow the rope back to the garage.
Yeah. I mean, they have a woodshed, but they don't use it anymore for whatever. I mean, I guess they don't use it because they just don't want to walk all the way out to the woodshed. Right now, they just, like, pile it up, like, next to the back door. But they're real, like, you don't, for some reason, they don't put it, like, right against the wall. I'm sure there's a reason. I don't know what it is, but they don't put it right against the paneling of, like, the side of the house. So, it's just, like...
Is that buy wood, or is it cut wood?
It's cut wood. They split it.
He goes out in the woods and cuts it?
Yeah. Or a lot of the times people, they live out in the country, so a lot of the times people around will have, farmland or just, like, woods, and there will be fallen trees, and my grandpa and my uncle and, you know, a lot of us will go in and, like, split the wood up and take it out in, like, truckloads and split it.
There was a woods, you know, close by to our house, and a farmer sold, logs out of it, and the tree tops and stuff was laying down, and You know, we used to cut wood there. If there was a tree that was down on the ground or any, you know, if it had been took down, we'd get all cut up and stuff, you know, Dad would try to get it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, you know, would rather have somebody take it than have to get rid of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, my grandpa, yeah, I mean, that's how they get a lot of their wood. People just want to get rid of the wood. I know people who try to, like, sell wood, but for some reason, if you buy wood, they always want, like, a bajillion dollars for it.
Well, it doesn't save you no money if you buy the wood.
Yeah, I mean, there's no point.
You know, you might as well be, you know, on gas or, I don't know about electric. Electric's awful expensive around here.
No, they also have a woods of their own, like, out back, but it's not very, like, a big, and my grandma's not big on them cutting down trees back there, but they cleaned it up a lot, so there's, like, pathways and whatnot, but the trees, they pretty much left untouched.
Well, yeah, you know, we didn't have to cut trees down, they was already cut down, so they're, you know, we wasn't cutting down a big tree just for wood. If you don't have much woods back here, if you keep doing that, there ain't going to be no woods back here.
Did you guys build your own house?
Did we run out of wood I was younger?
Did you build your own house?
Oh, we built a family room and a garage on the house.
Well, that's nice.
That kept us boys busy on there. You know, Dad, you know, he was a worker, you know, himself, but we had to jump right in there, and we added that on. Dad had a dozen apartments at one time. We was always working on those, mowing the yard. We had great big gardens. Mom and Dad was there. Well, Mom wasn't out there planting time. But, you know, Dad was. But harvest time, Mom would go out there a little bit. We used to raise potatoes, and you have to hoe the periodically while they're growing, you know, mound the dirt up around the plant.
Where are you from?
Dunbar Road. We've lived on Dunbar Road.
I didn't know you could grow potatoes in Ohio.
And we also had 30 pigs at one time. Oh, and now I was real young, we had a bunch of rabbits. The barn on Spencer Road was full of rabbits.
You ever show them at the fair or anything?
No. I don't, Dad sold them somehow, but I can't remember where he sold them to. I know we didn't raise them on the fair or nothing.
I went to school with a kid who told me that his family, like, would raise rabbits and then sell them to, like, bodybuilders because apparently, like, the bodybuilders would, like, you know, eat the rabbits because rabbits are apparently high in protein and, like, have almost zero fat.
Have you ever tasted a rabbit?
Oh, yeah, I've had rabbit. Rabbit's good. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's kind of gamey.
It tastes like gamey chicken, in my opinion. I mean, I know I know people say that, like, everything tastes like chicken, but, like, I mean, it has the same texture as chicken. Like, it tastes like gamey chicken.
Right. And, you know, I'd rather have regular chicken over that, but, you know, rabbit is good, and then there's ways to fix it, too.
You're not a fan of the gamey kind of taste?
Yeah. We always soaked them in salt water. After we cleaned them and stuff, we'd soak them in salt water for a couple of days.
You know, when I was younger, we would, because, like, my family's always hunted a lot. When I was younger, we would get, like, a deer, and then we would go into the garage, and we obviously, you know, you tagged it and all that good stuff. I mean, you can't be poaching that. That's a pretty big fine right there. But no, so, you know, we would get the deer and we'd tag it and do all that good stuff. But then we would get it into the garage and you know, we'd gut it and then hang it up and all that good stuff. But, and then as we were, like, you know, I don't know what you want to, butchering the deer, I guess. As we were, like, butchering the deer, we'd cut off, like slabs of meat and cut them into, like, little squares and then fry them up and then eat them while we were, like, cutting up the, like, butchering the deer.
Oh, deer meat's good,
I think. Meat's good, yeah, venison's nice.
And they make a trail bologna out of deer meat. That,
Oh, yeah.
I've had before. It's good.
Summer sausage is good, yeah. Or, yeah, bologna, whatever you want to call it. Same thing, basically.
But nobody in my family really went deer hunting. You know, nobody. I think my brother Roger might have got a deer one time. I'm not sure. But, you know, we weren't big deer hunters.
Hunting's not for everybody. It's a big waiting game. I mean, unless you're actively tracking animals, and there are people who actively, like, track while hunting, but that's not the popular style.
Yeah, and, you know, PETA's against hunting, but hunting serves a purpose. You know, you gotta control the population.
As a matter of fact,
anymore, you know, farmers have a lot of trouble with muskrats. And coons and stuff eating their crops.
As a matter of fact, I know that last year they raised the bag limit on deer, I do believe, by one deer. I mean, one deer is not massive, but, you know, you consider how many hunters there are. That's a lot of extra deer you're taking.
Yeah, which, you know, it saves accidents on the road, too.
Yeah, and also speaking of all the like pest animals you were talking about. I mean, I know hunters who pay. I know farmers who pay hunters. And now I don't do it because pest animals don't usually get eaten, and I'm not a fan of shooting something, and I'm not a fan of killing something I'm not going to eat. There's no point in it. I wouldn't like why. But I know of farmers who have like paid hunters previously to go in and like shoot groundhogs and things like that.
Yep, you can't blame the farmer.
Well, I'm not blaming the farmer, but I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know that.
I don't like to see animals killed that way, but.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of, like I said, I mean, I just don't want to, I just don't see a point in shooting an animal I know I'm not going to clean and take with me.
Yeah. Now, down south, they have a lot of trouble with wild boar.
Yeah, boar's dangerous, though. I mean, that's a whole different animal over there.
Oh, yeah, they'll attack you. And you wouldn't believe how many of them are down there. I watch a channel on YouTube, Arms Family Homestead, and they trap deer. And in that state, it's legal to take the deer, process it, and sell it. Now, they don't do that, but a guy they know comes and gets all the deer that they trap. They trap on two different properties, one for somebody else, and he takes them, and he gets so much per hog, and it goes to good use, you know, feeding people. I don't know how they get it. You know, I don't know if it's sold in a grocery store or not, but.
Well, I'm pretty sure the way it works in Ohio, like, if I were to turn in my deer to a processor, I do believe if I don't show up to pick it up, they're not allowed to sell it to me. They have to donate it to, like, food pantries or something like that.
Yeah, well, at least it goes to good use.
Yeah, I mean, it gets eaten, I guess. I mean, they're not just throwing it away.
I was wanting to ask you, did you see the post that Donald Trump made of the Obamas?
Yeah, we were actually talking about that. That was actually one of the topics on my political list. But, no, I mean, yeah, I think that's, I mean, I'm usually pretty lenient, and I'll usually say I don't know what they meant by that, or, you know, I think people take jokes too seriously sometimes, but, you know, this one, I mean, you know, I think that this one's pretty cut and dry racism. I don't know what else to say about that.
Trump can't take the jokes when it's made about him, but, you know, we're supposed to laugh at, you know, what he does. I mean, I just don't see how how he's lasted this long.
Well, I know that, you know, I don't know how many, or not, I don't have, like, names or quotes exactly, but, I mean, pretty much all of them said basically the same thing. But, I mean, I know that there were plenty of Democrats and plenty of Republicans who said basically that this was the most racist thing that ever seen come out of the White House, or close to it.
Right, you know, people used to look up to him.
I do believe the quote I just gave is actually a Tim Scott quote, I do believe, and he's a Republican. But they all basically said the same thing.
Well, there's 18 senators that's calling for impeachment. Now, they've always had, when he's been impeached twice before, the Senate wouldn't convict him. The House initiates the impeachment, and then the Senate decides if he's going to be impeached or how he's going to be censored or anything like that. So he's never really been relieved of office. But I guess there's 18 senators, Republican senators, that, you know, are calling for impeachment on him, so...
For what? Impeachment, you need, what, two-thirds?
Yeah, two-thirds. So it might come before, you know, the midterms, possibly.
Do you need...
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know if you... Do you need the majority two-thirds or the minority two-thirds? Because there's 100 members. But I guess the vice president's the tiebreaker, right? So, I mean, if it's like 66 to 33, then you don't need the 100th vote.
Right.
Okay. Well, no, because isn't he the tiebreaker? He'd be 101, wouldn't he? The vice president?
Well, I don't think the vice president gets to vote on the impeachment.
Well, I don't know about on the impeachment. Because the impeachment's the impeachment, yeah. I mean, you know.
You know, he's along with the administration.
Yeah.
Impeached.
Yeah.
And,
That's true.
Well, technically, he would take over if he was impeached. Really? So it wouldn't be fair for the vice president to be able to vote for it to get the dude out of there so he could be president. You know, and then after that...
Yeah, there's a conflict of interest there.
It'd be Mike Johnson. Boy, aren't those the two you really want succeeding?
You know, I'm surprised Mike Johnson has lasted as long as he has. When Mike Johnson got the job originally, I'm pretty sure, I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure if you go all the way back to when Mike Johnson got the job originally as Speaker of the House, I didn't think he was going to last all that long. I wasn't a fan of the fact that he was an election denier, but,
yep.
I mean, he was he's from Louisiana, I do believe. He's from, I mean, no, not the hate on Louisiana, but Louisiana's pretty, I mean, it's pretty much, you know, it's small. I mean, people don't think about Louisiana.
Well, size-wise, it ain't so small, but compared to state of its size, the population isn't real big.
Because
so much of Louisiana is not inhabitable.
I guess I just expected the Speaker of the House to come from somewhere like... I mean, I'm biased, I guess, but like Ohio or like New York or like Texas or California, something like that, not Louisiana.
Have you seen Mike Johnson's wife?
I have not.
She's a little bit younger than him, and she's pretty. She's a nice-looking girl. She's not real young, you know, younger, but...
Well, that's good for him, I suppose.
I'm 64, and there's a 30-year-old that I would like to talk into marrying me.
Well, with that being said...
But, I mean, I don't know. It's, you know, if it could happen, it could happen. But either way, just, you know, I'm going to be friends with her either way, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, she thinks the same thing, so... Well, I'll let you go. It's about time for you to get out of there. I just wanted to see if you knew about that racist tweet that he sent.
Oh, yes. I think it's the biggest, besides the kidnapping of Savannah Guthrie's mother, I think that's probably been the biggest news.
Well, I've seen on YouTube where they're saying son-in-law. They think the son-in-law of that woman was one that did it.
Well, I think it had to be somebody close to the family. I mean, like, they turned off her me and Scott went over the whole thing this morning. Like, they turned off her pacemaker app. Like, how did you know to turn off the pacemaker app if, you know, you'd have to know that she had a pacemaker.
Yeah, and I think they might find out that her daughter was in on it, too. That'd be a shame. I just hope she's found alive and not dead.
I agree. I mean, you know, you hope the best.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll talk at you next Friday.
Sounds good. Have
See
a good
you,
one.
Matt.
Alrighty, well, with that being said, we are a minute over here, so I'm going to wrap this up pretty quick. You can listen live 24 hours a day at www.wwgh1071.com. At the bottom of the page is a listen live button. You can listen on the TuneIn app, however you're listening now, pretty much any smart device, etc. It is cold. Try to stay warm and stay safe. I hope you enjoyed. I appreciate you for listening, and, well, join us next week.
As long as you appreciate it for the work. I think that's the best. Rewards are not-